Now, if you know me, you will know I am not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. For me, the pressure of starting something new in January has seen me fail over and over again. What I like to do instead is I like to give myself a little bit of time to settle into the year so I can actually figure out what goals I actually want to achieve. Now, one of my biggest goals this year is to be able to confidently speak in a new language, and this is something that I have been trialing and failing at, and also working at for a really, really long time. Fast forward to the end of 2024. Think about what you're wanting to achieve. What can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? Now, if you are like me, and one of your goals is to learn a new language, you absolutely need to get Babbel, and I'm so excited to chat to you about this. Now, in just a few weeks of using Babbel, I have progressed my language skills in ways that I have never done before. And I've been using Babbel's 10-minute lessons, which are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. What I love the most about Babbel is that it's designed by real people for real conversations. And I think this is something where I've gone wrong before. I have been learning French on and off since I was 9 years old. That is over a decade and a half now. Yet I still didn't feel confident in my communication. I was learning through textbooks, but I was actually lacking that human connection in my vocabulary. Babbel's courses have helped me to learn real-life conversation skills, to speak confidently and clearly in a way that locals will understand, as Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent too. It's enabled me to be able to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without ever having to consult my language app whilst on vacation. Now, studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Now, I actually have a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, you can get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/proverbs. Now, you can get 60% off at babbel.com/proverbs, spelled babbel.com/proverbs. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hello, you are listening to Proverbs with Daisy Maskell. It is me, Daisy. Welcome. This is a podcast all about extraordinary people and extraordinary stories. Here we will shine the spotlight on their journeys and hopefully learn something about ourselves and the way that we live our lives from their experiences too. Join me for the next half an hour as we get to know our guest. Encina Severa has grown up with DID, dissociative identity disorder, a condition that is highly stigmatized and often difficult for those who haven't experienced it themselves to understand. Encina is the host of 11 personalities, which she switches between. She is here to educate us on DID and to speak on the impact social media has had on sufferers speaking out. Encina, how are you doing?
Hi, doing really, really well. How are you?
Good. I'm not too bad myself. We're so happy to have you. Where are you speaking to us from?
So I'm in Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona, to be specific, in the US.
Is it hot over there at the minute? That's the question we always ask because it's always raining in the UK.
It is getting hotter, so it's not too bad yet.
Nice,
but it is
nice,
definitely
nice.
Getting there.
I guess, Encina, we'll start at the beginning. If you can just tell us a little bit about yourself, what it was like growing up for you as well. Just take us back to the start of your journey.
Oh my God, start of my journey. I don't even know where I would start with that. I had a lot of my childhood blacked out because of the DID, which is the dissociative identity disorder, which we kind of just call it DID. It's very spotty as I start getting older and, I mean, when it comes to my DID journey, I was like mid-20s when I was actually diagnosed. And I kind of was struggling with that for a while, didn't really believe that I had it. So I was in denial. And the worse that you are in denial, the worse it gets. So I had a lot of amnesia bouts and such going around that. And the more I kind of worked with it, went to therapy and, started to just be like, okay, I'm taking this in. This is what I have. Let's work with it. Then it started to get a lot easier. Not saying that it was perfect, but it definitely started to get a lot easier.
I think I was watching an interview that you did online a little while ago, and you were saying that DID isn't something that just sort of happens and, people wake up with it in their like teenage years or in their 20s. It's something that I guess you have throughout your childhood, but maybe it doesn't present itself in the way that it now presents itself in you as you're older. Is that right?
Yes. So basically, you can't get DID anywhere past around like the age of 8 years old. So it has to be the time of like newborn up until around 8. Sometimes people say around 6 years old. So it's kind of like a variation, mainly because you have to have repetitive trauma happening. It's not like a single trauma, like maybe, something, I don't know, like a massive tornado happens or something. That's like a type of trauma, but it's a repetitive, very, very hard to deal with trauma that you're going through as a child causes DID. And it's basically, they say that your mind is already kind of split into different parts as you're a child. And as you get older, your mind starts to meld itself and you become the person that you become. As a child that's going through any kind of repetitive trauma, those split parts of your brain stay split and they can continue to split even more as you grow up. Some people, when it comes to having DID, you might not be showing symptoms, which tends to be your alters that are coming through until later on. But a lot of people who have DID don't even know that they have it. They'll be like in their 50s or 60s and be finding out this is what I've been dealing with, and this is why I've been having bouts of amnesia or, these really random symptoms that they just have not known about or they've been misdiagnosed with.
You touched a little bit about the diagnosis and your diagnosis process at the start, and you were saying, I guess, like with anyone, when you get a diagnosis of something, you can go through the stages of denial. But I can imagine once you sort of get through that, it's quite nice to finally sort of have some clarity and I guess start to understand how you can manage living with DID. What was your diagnosis process like? Because I can imagine that DID is misdiagnosed so many times.
Yeah, so for me, oh man, I've been in therapy since I was 6 years old. Let's just start with that. I've been trying to deal with a lot when it comes to like mainly depression. And then I started having like anxiety and panic attacks. And that kind of dealt with a lot of other things that just kind of got into the mix where I was also getting a lot of physical diagnosis. And when it came to the DID stuff, it didn't really show up until, again, my mid-20s, to where my therapist was like, oh, she's kind of switching into different like personalities and different areas. And then she taught, like, my therapist would just be like, she's talking about like different things. So like, where do I go with this? So she would be telling me about these sessions that we were having. And at times I just wouldn't really believe what she was saying. 'Cause I was like, no, that's not what I remember. 'Cause a lot of people who have DID, when they're going through those amnesia bouts, they don't always realize that they're doing it. So everyone has a little bit of dissociation is also the amnesia part. So like if you're driving home or doing something that's very repetitive in your life that you're used to doing. You can sometimes start to go through your like daydreaming, and that tends to be a type of dissociation where you're just kind of like an autopilot. You're just going around, going with the flow. If you're driving home and you get home and you're like, oh, I'm home now. Like, okay, that was really fast. Or, things like that. You just kind of have your own type of dissociation, and there's different levels of it. With DID, there's complete dissociation where we can either be what's called co, I'm sorry, my mind just went blank, and
It's okay,
I'm
take
oh man, my mind just went blank. What was I gonna say?
time. We were talking about which you explained so well. We can go about our normal routine and we can end up either being home or being at work without even really realizing we're sort of daydreaming, and you sort of described sort of transitioning into different alters in a similar sort of way. But I think you were just about to say how DID is sort of different from that process that a lot of people are familiar with.
Yes. So, yeah, you can basically be completely dissociated, completely, completely. And that's where, again, that amnesia comes in, where we could just completely forget what's happening, or we could be somewhere, like I could be in my room, and then all of a sudden I wake up like at the grocery store. And it can get really scary the more that your symptoms kind of happen and you start to realize, okay, my therapist was right. Like, let's look into this. Because you don't know where the new package came from that you got in the mail, or you don't know, certain things in your life where you're just like, I'm kind of lost. What's happening? And yeah, it can just be really scary and almost feel like there's a ghost around you because things start moving and happening where you're just not realizing it.
I can so imagine how scary that can be. I think you've explained that so well, and you've been able to sort of take us through that journey of what that feels like and where those fears come from. I think I mentioned at the start of this interview, am I right in saying you have 11 alters, Encina?
Yes.
Yeah. Could you give us a description of some of your alters?
So I mean a few of them, the main, there's like kind of a few that are, I want to say, the most apparent, the ones that kind of come out the most. There's Minnie, who is a 3-year-old little girl, and there is oh my God, my mind is just completely not with it right now. I'm so sorry.
You take your time.
I do feel like a little bit of dissociation.
That's okay. Take your time, Encina. I'll be here when you're ready to talk.
Okay, sorry.
Don't you worry.
Oh man, I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize. It's all good.
okay, so we were talking about the alters that I
We
have.
were talking about the alters, and you were talking about Minnie, and Minnie is a 3-year-old, and you said that she is one of your main alters that comes through often.
Yes. So Minnie is the one that I've had the like that I've known about the majority of my life, is what I should say. And then there's also Elora and Evla Zen. Evla Zen's kind of like mid-20s. And then Elora is a fairy, actually, a very, very, she considers herself a very, very old fairy. I
I
do.
love fairies.
Yeah.
She sounds great.
When it comes to the alters in general, when they start coming out, especially like as a child, when your mind starts splitting, when we're going through these traumas, we split into things that we know. So we could technically split into like a dog, if that's what we know is like kind of a safe area. We could, as odd as it seems, we could split into something that is not like a rock. So these alters can be completely whatever, just depending on what that child's mind sees as safe at the time.
That's so interesting that you've explained that. I don't think I've ever
I've obviously done a little bit of research about DID, and I feel like it's something that people are coming to terms with a lot more. I know there's been a lot on social media over the past 2 years, but it's been great to see people raise so much awareness. But I think this is why it's so important that you are here and you're speaking about this sort of thing, because you can teach us, and you can show us new aspects of what you go through on a day-to-day basis.
Continuing the conversation on Proverbs after this short break.
I wanted to take a moment to talk about a new brand that I've been loving at the minute. And that brand is Ana Luisa Jewelry. Now, their pieces are all unique. They make you feel empowered and they serve as a perfect addition to any outfit, whether you're dressing up or down. They offer high quality at affordable prices and are carbon neutral from packaging to product, which we know is super important. Anyone that knows me knows that I love an accessory. I think jewelry is a great way to express yourself and to experiment with fashion as well. And of course, it is a great sentimental gift for a loved one too. They are giving Proverbs listeners 40% off when you buy another product on their website. Just go to shop.analuisa.com/daisy or click the link in the description for a discount.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Are there certain things that will trigger you to transition that you've learned about over the years that you've been dealing with this?
There are a lot of random triggers. Some triggers I know about and some I don't. Mm-hmm. You want to think about it like if somebody went through some kind of a trauma and maybe they were eating an orange, you know, maybe they went through mm-hmm. a hurricane and right before it, you know, they're eating this citrus fruit, and then all of a sudden later on in their life, they smell something citrus, or they get ready to eat like an orange or something, and all of a sudden they start to have like a flashback or some kind of a trigger happens and they have no idea why. So people just don't realize that orange now has turned into that trigger. Mm-hmm. So for me, a lot of yelling. So I don't like going to sports bars. I can do like concerts and such because it's music that's happening, but like anything sports games, like if someone's yelling because they're upset, like if some I heard the other day just screaming at like a grocery store, like people were fighting, and I was like, oh no, I gotta get out of here, like, and my friend was like, it's okay, thank God I was with my friend, and she kind of like led me out and it helped. But I have gone through a lot of therapy to learn different coping skills to get over some of these triggers and to work with them instead of having them completely take over.
I guess the more you know, right? And I guess that you can, it's great that you have friends around you too that completely understand what you're going through and can guide you through particularly difficult moments. That's really good to hear. But yeah, I guess it is it's something that you're sort of learning and finding out about as you go along. Does DID change as you get older as well?
Change into like different things?
Yeah. Does it develop? Does it change? Can you develop different triggers, or can you develop different alters and personalities?
Oh, absolutely. There's so basically you become fragmented, which is the splitting, and some people go into like polyfragmentation where they can have like hundreds of alters. And your mind, once it learns how to split as a child, you know, it can continue to split as you get older. So it's really hard to to claim I'm cured when you've become what's called, like, you fuse the altars together. So I believe some of my altars have fused, basically saying they have become aware of each other. They started working together. And now that they have kind of become one within themselves. Mm-hmm. And some people, that is their goal, is to fuse all of their altars together to where it's just one person within themselves. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that there's specifically, like, and I'm doing those air quotes, like a cure, because since you're a child and your mind knows how to split, you can always split again. And it happens. So somebody will fuse all of their altars together, and then a random, like, really big trauma happens, which causes them to split again. Again, it's kind of like riding a bike. Once your brain knows how to do something, you kind of always know how to do it. And since you've stayed split for so long, your brain's like, oh, okay, coping mechanism, like, needs to happen right now. And that's all DID is. It is your brain's coping mechanism happening, where it dissociates yourself going through some kind of a trauma and putting that other thing into that, which tends to be that altar. So they deal with that trauma rather than you.
I know you document your journey of living with DID, and you have a really great online presence as well within the community. Do you think, or have you experienced, a lot of stigma when it comes to living with or suffering with DID and speaking about it online?
Absolutely. So I came out and started doing DID YouTube videos. This was around like 2011. And around that time, it was not known. It was not talked about at the time. Like, most people still knew about it as multiple personality disorder, or MPD. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that, that's not the medical term that they actually use anymore, because they started, you know, doing more research on it. But at that time, because it wasn't talked about or known around as much as it is now, people didn't accept it. So the majority of comments that I would get were really, really negative and mean, and could be very triggering. So I ended up deleting my YouTube channel because of that. And there's a couple of other DID systems, is what they call them. So, like, all of my altars together were a system. Other people's systems were doing YouTube channels at the around the same time and did the same thing. They all got rid of their channel. I saw that, you know, DID was starting to become more of like a known thing. I started to feel more comfortable and wanted to be able to speak out more. So I made my YouTube channel again, and I literally started getting almost only positive, uplifting comments and support. So it became something that was a lot more comfortable with me. But still, along throughout my life, there's always going to be stigmas. And the main stigmas that unfortunately happen are because of Hollywood and movies. Mm-hmm. There's so many movies out there that were made because they wanted to make DID something to be scary. So, like Jekyll and Hyde, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, Fight Club, that's a DID thing. It's just, again, people don't realize it. The Nutty Professor, I don't know what specific movies are out there. So I'm not sure if I'm making sense with these specific movies, but a lot of the movies that are out there are very, very misrepresented. So it makes people afraid.
Yeah. And that is so sad, because, you know, you're a real person. You're a wonderful person. I've enjoyed speaking to you so much. And I think that the media portraying individuals that are just living with and dealing with DID in such a way to be feared and scared of is a really, really sad and isolating thing. And the one thing that people dealing with DID shouldn't be feeling is isolated or feared, because you know, you're just your average person. This is just something that's a part of your journey. So yeah, I think it's great that you continue to speak online and other people that deal with DID also continue to raise awareness online as well to help break down that stigma. But I can imagine it being really difficult to see those negative comments when all you're doing is speaking about your experience and speaking your truth. What are some ways that people can support those living with DID? And Sina, what advice would you give?
I would just give support. I do get a lot of people who, like, I get tons and tons of messages every single day. One thing I would say is don't try to go to somebody if you, like, I don't know, if your friend or your sister or your parent has DID, don't go to somebody else who has DID and say, help, what can I do to get rid of these alters or to make them stop? Because yep. The biggest thing you don't want to do is to stop them. They're there as a coping mechanism and they're actually there to help. So I am very, very appreciative of my alters now. Before, I hated it because I was just like, I'm losing time. I don't know what's happening. And I was fighting against it, but they were very much like, you know, they're basically just saying, we're here to help. That's all we are.
They're protecting you, right?
Yeah. So it is something that you don't want to stop. And I'll also get people who have it and who are messaging me and saying, what can I do? I don't want them here. I need to stop them. And it, again, it's just one of those things where the first thing I say is, I cannot give you suggestions because I am not a medical professional. You need to go speak to a medical professional. I understand there might not be one that is relatively available in your area, but there are plenty of online help and now a ton of different kinds of like therapy apps that you can download on your phone, which is absolutely amazing. And then I like to remind somebody about your alters are there to help. They were made, they were created to help you. So you are going through this trauma. Without them, you would remember every single part of that trauma. You would have gone through yourself that trauma. And they came to be because they wanted to help you with that and help you to cope with what was happening to you.
I love that you've been on this really positive journey now, and you're in a really positive place with your alters and the relationship that you now have with them. I think it's almost a really beautiful thing, the way that you describe them as, you know, not wanting to get rid of them because they were there to protect you and help you along the way. So that's some great advice that you've given out there for anyone that knows a friend or family member that may be suffering with DID. That's some really, really great advice. At the end of every episode of our podcast, we like to ask our guests to tell us their mantra for life, something that they live by or something that gets them up in the morning. I would love to hear your mantra for life if you have one, Encino.
God.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is. I think for me, it's just continuing to try to find help. I hear a lot from people where they're like, well, medication didn't work for me, so I just don't take it. Or my therapist was really mean or, you know, didn't get me, so I don't go to therapy anymore. There are different ways of helping everybody. Everybody's body is different. Everybody's mind is different. If a medication didn't work for you, try a different one. If a therapist didn't work for you, try a different one. If a coping skill, a type of therapy didn't work for you, try something different, because something different works with everybody. Continue to search, constantly search. It's really hard and it can really suck. But if you end up finding that medication therapist or coping skill that really actually does help, then, you know, that journey of struggling to find something is worth it.
That's just so amazing. And I just love the way that you speak and the way that you give advice. You know, every single person deserves help, and one method may not work for you, but there is always someone out there, and there's always an alternative method, and you owe it to yourself to get help. So thank you so much for joining us, Encina. That's a really, really
Absolutely.
nice one to end on. I think that was actually one of my favorite mantras that I've ever heard on this podcast. I'll give you a little virtual trophy right there. I've loved chatting to you so much. You're doing such a great job at raising awareness. Keep that up. You're so strong. You're so inspiring. And we appreciate you so much, Encina. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And that concludes this episode of Proverbs with Daisy Maskell. That is me. I hope you enjoyed it. Hit subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And I will see you soon.